Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to We Have Spoken Podcast. I am Chuck P, along with my good buddy Mike Grimion. What's up, man?
Hey, dude.
We also have some guests with us today for this episode of the show. We've got Christian is back with us.
What's up?
Hopefully giving more to the conversation than he normally does.
If you've never listened before, right? Christian is Chuck's son.
Yes.
And it's like looking into a mirror from 35 years ago.
That's just scary.
Not
Everyone
for me.
Everyone tells me I look like my mom, so I don't know.
No. Okay. No. You're doomed, son. That is your future.
I am your future.
I'm going to keep my hair, though.
Good luck.
I hope you do.
Keep it in a box.
Yeah. Also joining us, the legendary man himself, Jay Park.
What is going on?
Jay Park, I'm so glad you're here, dude.
I am so glad to be here. Do you realize we got paid to watch Loki today?
We did. We got lunch. We sat in my office and on the clock, and we watched Loki.
Does life get better? I mean,
it could. I can use a few more sponsors for the show. It'd be great.
Well, hey, you're out there.
I am out there.
Yeah. I'd love to quit doing what I'm doing.
Well, slow your rolls, son. I don't know if it's
going to happen. Come on, man. Pay my mortgage, son.
Calm down. All right. So we're here to discuss episode 4 of Loki, the Nexus event. And we're going to do something a little bit different for this episode. We are not going to follow the normal routine, how we start from the beginning and work our way through the show. We're just fucking diving in because shit happened. There was a mid-credit scene that blew everyone's mind. So we're just, I want to start with that. Holy fuck.
What the fuck are you even doing?
No, this is what we're doing today. This is the episode
the
we're
doing. The sacred timeline of the podcast.
Dude, I'm going to prune this shit.
TVA's about to walk through that door.
Yeah, I don't care. This is what we're doing today because I haven't gotten the mid-credit scene out of my head all day.
Okay, so if we're starting with the mid-credit scene, do we have any background on the 4 Lokis we saw? Okay, so we know old school comic book Loki.
Yes.
Alligator Loki.
Yeah, which, wow. What the hell?
No idea what's going on there. Kid Loki. Okay, that exists sometimes.
Another setup for Young Avengers.
Who is the black Loki at the end with what looks like a hammer of some variety?
And a wrench on the hammer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Is that a thing that exists? I didn't do any research or look it up.
I think they could have just said, okay, we're going to get like 4 hats. Each person pull one thing out of each hat, and it's random, and then that will be a Loki.
Yeah, maybe so.
So like, okay, so alligator with horns.
How did that even get in
and
alligator?
A wrench.
Yeah.
Loki. Boom. Done.
How did the alligator even get into the conversation? Is like, that's blowing my mind.
It's incredible. It's like big spider pig vibes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I had that comic. Sorry to get off on a tangent immediately, but I had the original Spider-Ham. Anyway, not the point.
Yeah. And the world they're in is obviously it's an Earth because you see it's all been destroyed, and you see Avengers Tower in the background just like jacked up. But, all right, I just had to get that out of my system because it's nuts. Let's go into the story itself and we'll talk about it.
You are ass fucking backwards.
That's what I'm doing. The sacred timeline is jacked up. And so is
no
this podcast
shit.
For this episode.
No shit.
I had to get it off my chest. We're still not going to follow the regular format. I'm still going to bounce around. There's all kind of shit going on. Rewind it. So, Owen Wilson, Mobius.
Yeah.
Pruned.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. For about 5 minutes.
Yeah, because
I felt. I was like, oh, he's gone. Okay, what's next?
It broke my heart when he was gone. But then as soon as you realize that they're just being transported when they get pruned, it was like, okay, well, that kind of undid
exactly. But the shock of that scene where after he has the conversation with Renslayer in the office when she asks him, if you can go anywhere in time, where would you go? And he doesn't really give an answer. And then when he goes to get Loki out of the red door room, Which, by the way, Lady Sif, what up?
Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
Yeah.
yeah, without a doubt.
Dude, yeah, it had that vibe to it.
I just wanted him to start running away from her, like, fuck this shit. Like, come catch me, bitch. I don't care.
But Scooby-Doo style through different doors, you know, yeah.
But I would think if he'd walk out of that door, he would just come out of where she came from.
Make her chase him. I mean, stop taking it in the nuts, man. Dude. Just do something.
Well, he did. Finally, he just, the last time she shows up, when he's like, look, I'm a narcissist. I thought it was funny. It's not funny that I cut your hair. I know you're pissed. And she finally decided not to kick him in the nuts or punch him.
Chuck and I were watching this together today, and when that scene happened, Chuck goes, well, at least he didn't get hit in the face. And I was like, that might have been worse. That emotional punch she throws the last time she delivers that line, masterful.
Our Loki, because there are so many, is really having a tough time, like, psychologically and emotionally the last couple of episodes.
For sure.
And not just getting his ass kicked, but, I mean, like, really just having his whole world kind of just disassembled around him. And he's standing in the middle of it, like, here's a guy who is obviously, like he says, he's a narcissist, and he's got delusions of grandeur, but it's also based around his own insecurities, and we can get into the psychological part of it. But he's a guy that has been a control freak, whether it was just playing the games or stringing people along. And all of that controls out the fucking window. He has nothing. Yeah. He has nothing to stand on. He has no bedrock. There's nothing anymore. And that's got to be just an absolutely just mind-numbing experience for someone especially like him.
Yeah, straight up, his reality is broken. I mean, absolutely. He doesn't know the concept of space-time anymore.
No.
It's every time they get to a new layer of something, he's like, I'm so tired of always finding out there's another man behind the man behind the man.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And don't fuck it up and bring that up right now. We're going to get around to it.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
We'll come there.
Calm the fuck
Jesus
down.
Christ.
Calm down.
You got me all riled up.
Good. That's what I wanted. So the episode starts off with you get a flashback. Not even a flashback. You're on Asgard. It pans down over a mountaintop, and then you're in Asgard. Now, initially, and Jay Parker, you might have had the same thought, or maybe not. I did think it was a flashback to something, maybe from Thor, or Thor Ragnarok with Loki involved. It turns out it's Sylvie's origin story. They come and take her as a child.
So this begs a really interesting question I saw somebody ask online. What could she have been doing there playing with her toys to have deviated from the timeline so much that was when they had to grab her? Right? Every other time we've seen somebody get plucked from one of their timelines, they deviate in a pretty big way. She's sitting still playing with toys.
Yeah.
So what did she do?
Well, we've only seen a few people get plucked.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So one of the things that comes out in a big way, we already knew based on Sylvie's statements from the previous episode, that everybody at the TVA was a variant and was not created by the timekeepers and whatever, and they had their memories fucked with. So while this has all been sort of played out, we don't know where these people are taken from or why they're taken. Maybe they just, you know, seem like a good fit, somebody that could be manipulated, somebody that in this instance obviously not manipulated.
They were wrong on that front if that was their
but goal. Yeah. Okay, so if we are guessing at someone that can know the future enough, then maybe they know what she's capable of and they are trying to eliminate that variable before she just completely unravels everything around them.
I read a great fan theory online that was predicting, what if Sylvie was going to grow up to be heroic? And the whole thing with Loki is he has to be a foil to Thor to get him to the spot that he needs to be on the sacred timeline. And so she was being too good, essentially. They knew she was going to mess up that entire thing. So I loved that angle. I was like, what if she is completely the mirror of it? But then they essentially created an even more powerful evil force by messing with her than that.
I like that theory. I think that's a good theory. Because you're right. Like, you see a child sitting there playing with toys, and all of a sudden they come in. It's like, there's the variant. Like, we got to take her back because she's screwing up the sacred timeline.
Right. And we don't see a Thor there.
No.
What if there is no Thor there?
What if there's a female Thor and it's going to be Natalie Portman?
Well, but what I okay.
Did I just break your brain
no,
a little bit?
No, no. Well, I was trying to go. You were trying. You said the thing about her being heroic. Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we feel makes Loki go towards the dark side, mm-hmm. quote unquote, is that he is always in his brother's shadow. He is always looking up to Thor, God of Thunder, Odin's son, the big, the strong, the powerful, right? And he is the smart and the cunning and the smaller
little
version.
Brother syndrome.
Little brother syndrome. So what if there's no big brother? What if there would have just been Loki, hero of Asgard, and there's no Thor? I don't know. Again, purely just speculatory. But, I mean, if we're trying to come up with speculatory reasons why they would have taken her, she even asks. She asks Renslayer, what was the big fucking thing? What was the big deal? What made you take me? And she said, I can't even remember.
Oh, like a sociopath. Just like, by like the way, that smile.
Oh, my God. Like man. A fucking.
She knows.
Just like, yeah. a dagger of love to the heart.
I don't know. I think it was. I think she was genuine. I think really? She's done so many of these at this point that she's jaded, like, you know, somebody that's been through too much.
I think with the fact that they discovered that it's Sylvie, I think she did that purposely to not give her the satisfaction of, like, I'm not going to tell you why. Also, we can't trust Renslayer. We see that. We learn that. She is fucking... After Sylvie tells Loki that everyone in the TVA are variants, and he tries to express that to Mobius, and he's basically in the scene when Mobius is talking to Sylvie in her office, and Jay, you and I discussed this, he's basically interrogating her. Like, yeah. He wants to interrogate Sylvie, but she won't let him, so he's going to interrogate her to get what information he needs, because now he has that doubt in his head. Because even though Loki tried to lie in his office and tell him, like, yeah, we met in a different timeline, and this is a grand plan, this is a scheme we've done, and he's like, all right, well, you know, she's dead, we pruned her, and Loki's like, wait, what? So then when he comes out and says they're all variants, there's a second where it looks like Mobius, it hits him, and he's like...
So you've hit on something big there, which I think in this show, and with all Marvel shows, there are big moments of dropping the mask,
yeah.
Okay? When Loki is told that she's been pruned, he immediately loses his mask, and you can tell that he reacts to it in a genuine way.
Yes.
When Mobius is told he's a variant for the first time, like you said, there's a totally different expression. He slumps, his body language. It's subtle, but it's there. Renslayer's moment, to me, is in the elevator when she finally cracks that demonic smile when Sylvie asks her why she's there. So that's why I think she's being genuine, because to me, it's a similar moment where she drops the mask and you can see a moment of genuine reaction to something that caught her off guard.
Okay. Okay.
So we are assuming that Renslayer knows who's actually in charge.
I think I know, too.
Yeah, I think I know as well. It's fucking Kang.
Yeah, it's got to be Kang.
It's got to be Kang. Who else could it be?
I agree. It's more than likely Kang. I didn't know if she knew. You know what I mean? Like,
she knows, though, because...
She does know.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's obvious now after the fact, but going into that scene where they're in the throne room and everything, there was still the smallest sliver that she might be surprised that they were fucking robots, you know? I was like, is she going to be surprised? And then she's like, kill me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, not like, what the fuck? What just happened? Yeah. These people, none of that. She knows it's obvious. So kill me. So I, you know, you don't get any information from me. I'm not going to do this. Or maybe she knows that when you prune them, They go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
But think definitely about her reaction the first time she was coming out of that chamber where she was like visibly shaken at having to interact with the timekeepers. I'm doing air quotes for those that are listening at home. She is smiling.
He's lying, listener. He didn't do shit.
She's smiling and very comfortable when she's about to go in with Loki and Sylvie. So you could tell that she had knew that it wasn't going to be the same. So whoever is really pulling the strings has her shaken in a real way. Again, a dropping of the mask moment. Yeah. That was a genuine emotion. She was
And we didn't know if we were going to see the timekeepers in this. Like when she goes into that room and then you just see the silhouette of them there in the eyes, you and I were both like, oh, shit.
And I thought it was going to be like, fade to credits. As soon as they like cross that barrier, I was like, oh no, here we go. But they gave us that little taste at the end.
Yeah, and you see them, and it's just like they look like bad animatronics from the Hall of Presidents.
It's amazing because like I read a ton of comments that were like, the first time I saw those timekeepers, I was like, man, they didn't budget well. The CGI ran out. But then as soon as you realize it's meant to be unsettling because they are fake, it was a great choice.
Dude.
You know what I just thought about? I don't know why I just thought about this. You know how they were like kind of floating up and down, right?
Are you getting the Chuck E. Cheese band vibe?
Fuck no, dude.
Country Bear Jamboree?
Wrong. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure when they go to the future. Yes. And those three motherfuckers are floating up on the wall. Just jumped into my head. Wow. And I'm like, what the fuck? Chairs floating on the wall. Bill and Ted did it first.
That's a good callback. I like
that. You are not wrong.
No, you are not wrong.
I feel like we've gotten totally off where we were. So we did the first scene, which was a flashback. What was next?
Next was Renslayer going into the elevator, and you see, like
okay,
I said,
so
that
we talked
silhouette
about her
in the
reaction
eyes.
There. Yeah,
yeah, when she first walked in the room and how she came out and was visibly shaken by whatever whoever she talked to in there. If it wasn't them, if it was Kang or whoever, that's the whole, like you said, the whole Wizard of Oz thing. It's like, don't look, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That thing. There's a conversation that happens at one point with them after they find Sylvie and Loki on that planet. By the way, the one scene that's in that shot when they're on Lamentus and the planet is crashing down upon them.
Beautifully
unreal shot. But you said something, and I agree with you because I thought it was the same thing. In the initial trailer before the show started, I thought that they were that was Black Widow.
They're on Vormir. They colored her hair red.
Oh, did you?
I thought I was gonna text you, and then I never got around to. But I thought, like, I was like, that looks like Black Widow. Like, is he on whatever that planet?
Vormir. Yeah. But no, it's a beautiful shot, and it's reminiscent of that planet almost, just with the colors and everything.
I thought so too. Can I get you super into the weeds on something in that scene?
Okay.
This is like my favorite take that I've seen. So they're about to create a Nexus event when that apocalypse
when
happens,
they touched,
right? Yeah,
that's the key. They touched.
I think it's not.
You don't? Okay.
I think it's not. So the whole point of her hiding in apocalypses was she couldn't create Nexus events because everything was going to be destroyed, right?
God, what was that line she said?
Oh, you're right. It was a callback. Oh, okay. We'll come back to that. We'll come back. Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. We'll come back to that. So what if the Nexus event is that Loki, our Loki, was about to be destroyed, and that wasn't what was supposed to happen?
Ooh.
When I saw this, I screenshot. I was like, Chuck, I'm not going to read this for you now. I got to bring it up on the podcast. It's amazing. The only thing that could be different about that is he was about to be destroyed. Everything else was going to be destroyed anyway. Them falling in love wouldn't have mattered because they were going to die.
Or she.
Well, yeah. But she's been in tons of these before.
But not to this point. If nobody comes for them, they're both gone.
Sure. Either way.
So I think the two of them, independently or as a group,
are not
meant to die.
Them falling in love wouldn't matter if they were going to die anyway.
I mean,
they want you to think it. But
it's a new kind of masturbation right there.
Yeah. Loki is strong on the self-love.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I just wanted to plant that seed in your brain. What if one of them is meant to fulfill a role here that's going to bring us into?
I think that's part of the big reveal about why Sylvie was taken in the first place, is that she's part of some big picture long-term thing, and somebody knew that was going to, you know, unravel their shit. So let's go get her when she's young. Sort of like the whole, let's go get Thanos when he's
a baby.
Yeah, and then like, doesn't work like that, man.
So not only that, but that also explains why she's so adamant about finding Sylvie and keeping track of her. If it was just about, let's save our agents, they would kill her the minute they saw her. They would prune her. They would do whatever. but they're so adamant about finding her, giving her extra security, making sure they know exactly where she's going to be so that she can fulfill the role she's supposed to. The line Chuck is talking about is there's a callback to the first Avengers movie. And this is super fortuitous because last night I watched the first Avengers movie on just a whim. My wife was like, what do you want to do tonight? I was like, let's watch Avengers 1. Why not?
Yeah.
And Coulson, after he's lying on the ground before he shoots Loki, you remember this scene?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this gun. He's like, oh, so that's what it does. Yeah, yeah, we all remember. Right. He tells Loki that he's destined to lose. It's in his nature. He will lose over and over and over again. They have a moment where they talk about that on Lamentis, yeah, and she hits him with almost the exact same line.
Almost, yeah.
It's a deep cut. If I hadn't just watched Avengers, I wouldn't have even remembered it, but it's beautiful, and that shows Marvel's attention to detail and that type of stuff.
It's the second time they've referred to that line, though, that Coulson tells him, because Mobius said the same thing to him in the first episode, yeah, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, that line is just haunting him throughout these timelines.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right.
There was also a line that Sylvie said in there that was very heartbreaking when she was talking about how she grew up in these timelines and she was going to die. Like, what did
she
say?
Oh,
like,
she lived her life in a thousand ends
in a thousand
of the world
deaths,
or yeah,
or something like that.
In the end of a thousand worlds.
Yeah, yeah,
that was beautiful.
Great,
yes,
line.
I mean, that's like some Smith's lyrics or some shit right there, man. That's,
if this show doesn't win some type of award, dude, for its script,
it's,
I mean,
it's absolutely, this has hands down been, it's the best episode of any of the Marvel series so far that Disney has put out. And it, Loki is right now my favorite. Like, I love WandaVision. Falcon and Winter Soldier was good, but man, everything they're doing on Loki is just like hitting all the right notes.
I think I like it so much because it's something new than what we don't, like, normally have. Like, we're going more into, like, I don't know, like, cosmic stuff, like exploring, like, different, like, we never seen anything before with like a timeline besides like Endgame when they had to, mm-hmm,
it's on a grand back scale, yeah,
but like,
yeah,
right. Falcon and Winter Soldier was good, but it was kind of just like, oh, Captain America, you're fighting, it's not really like something like new. I just feel like this is something new and this is why it attracts so many people.
You didn't see his new uniform at the end? That was new.
I know, it was
sponsored by Crest.
Sponsored by Crest.
I'll go one deeper.
Okay.
It might be my favorite Marvel show, period. I think it might have surpassed any of the Netflix stuff. I mean, I love Daredevil a ton. I know. And we got three seasons with that, and it ended in a satisfying way. But, like, the production value on this is just leaps and bounds.
It makes me want them to reboot the Daredevil.
Or just continue, yeah.
Well, I mean,
that,
we might be getting a Daredevil in the MCU.
I know we keep fucking doing this like we always
do.
We're
going to get one at some point, for sure.
That first season fucking stairway fight scene goes down as one of the best fight scenes I have ever seen.
They agreed because they did it 10 more times.
Yeah. On all the other shows as well.
Right. But the first time you saw that, don't tell me you didn't have to pick your jaw up.
There's a reason that there were a bunch of copies. SNL actually did a, I think it was SNL, did a skit called Hallway Fight where they parodied that.
Oh, sweet.
Fantastic.
All I know is I was watching that and I just was just like, fuck all the movies. This is the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, they killed it with that first season.
Charlie Cox, perfect cast.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I mean, he is in Spider-Man No Way Home.
I wonder how much of that's real. I mean, I've read all that stuff in the trailer. We could get all way into the weeds.
He might be
that
in the background, and they could have just been like, we're going to put this guy in there as an actor. And we're
after
just
Quicksilver, I'm so burned that, you know.
He filmed for 2 weeks. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, you were there?
Well, I've read it. He said he was on set for 2 weeks filming. So, what? Was he Matt Murdock?
We don't know. Chuck, I was on the set of Spider-Man filming for 2 weeks.
Hey, I was on the set watching Fantastic Four being filmed. If I could have sabotaged it after.
True, I had a friend that was next to that movie.
I want to go back. If I can go anywhere in time, I want to go back to the production of that movie.
And stop it from
being
opposed on
humanity.
My aunt, my great aunt, actually, was in the toy.
How great
so
is she?
Suck it.
Wow. Oh,
okay. She was in the pie fight scene at the end of the toy.
Okay.
Take that shit.
There you go.
Okay, Marvel. So after her elevator scene, or her first timekeeper scene, what goes on?
Yeah,
next?
So there's a conversation that Mobius is having with it's either her or he's having it with B-15. I don't remember who. And he's just talking about all the different types of people they've dealt with. He mentions
It's her in her office.
He mentions the Kree. He mentions Titans. That's a clear call to the Eternals. That is absolutely what that Eternals is. And he also mentions vampires.
That was my favorite.
What's going on, Blade?
I mean, that's just set. I mean, the Blade movie's coming. that's just setting that. That's just putting that little. In case you forgot, we got vampires on the way. That's a thing.
Isn't there a Marvel vampire named
Morbius?
Morbius.
Yeah, some hot Mobius on Morbius action.
Yeah.
That movie's coming out.
Could you imagine that conversation?
Morbius. Who's on first?
Yeah. Hey.
That's what I said as soon as Chuck said Blade.
I think that's next February.
So that was a pandemic delay. It was supposed to already be out.
Yes.
So it was already filmed.
It was going to come out this year. It was going to come out like in August or something, and they moved it again. They shuffled. They're doing that a lot. A lot of movies are getting shuffled. Dune got pushed back again.
God damn it.
I know. It needs to hurry up and get it.
Right now, they're currently slated to have it January 28th, 2022. So
okay.
Hopefully soon.
Mm. Let's talk about the Lady Sif scene. Like, they're in Mobius's office, and he's talking with Loki, and they open a red door. And immediately, I'm like, "What the hell is a red door? Like, what's going to happen?"
Community
here?
Fans, the red door.
Yeah. So he goes through this, and you could tell like he's on Asgard again. But we're trying to figure out who's about to show up. Like, what was your first thought, Mike, when he walked through that door? Who did you think was going to show up? Like, you knew something was going to – somebody was going to show up and something was going to happen from his past.
I don't know. Honest to God, I was sort of like – there was a part of me that was just like, if they left him in there by himself, I think that would work. That would be worse because he would have no one to interact with, no one to sort of at least get any attention from. But
you say that, but apparently himself is enough.
You're right. You are right about that. I honestly wasn't thinking that that was just sort of like, okay, well, they're going to stick him in this room, and I wasn't quite sure like where we were going with it. And then she comes out and I was like, oh, okay, all right, this is going to be the endless dick stomping. And sure enough, it was.
So you and I had different reactions then, because what I thought was after she was done, they might parade two or three people out there and have it be like a continuous line of stuff. Yeah. So the first thing I said to Chuck was like, oh, who else is going to come? Do they get more cameos?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I was like,
it was just her over and over again.
No, I thought it was, I mean, everything they've done to him is a loop. So I was just like, oh, they're just going to loop this shit. And he's just going to keep getting his butt kicked. Sure enough, that's what happened.
That is what happened.
Yep.
Kevin Feige came out and said a while back, because Sif was not in Ragnarok.
Right.
She was nowhere. She was nowhere seen in that movie. He said it's because Loki banished her, because she knew that he was disguised as Odin. So he banished her, and then she just became part of the snap.
Isn't
and came back
that
5 years
convenient,
later.
Kevin Feige, for your continuity?
Hey, at least that's trying to keep up a continuity.
Fucking retcon shit.
Yeah. And then that whole scene with Loki and Sif, with her talking about he cut her hair as a joke, that's taken
from myth. Yeah,
that's from
real.
Norse myth.
Yeah.
But in the Norse myth, the joke was she had blonde hair and he turned her hair black while she was sleeping as a joke. And that's where that is taken from. So they're delving into some, you know, actual Norse mythology, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
There's a guy named Thor. He's the god of lightning. That's from mythology, too.
That's true.
Shit. Odin, Jotun, all of that shit from mythology.
So, Mike, I'm scrolling down this page from Den of Geeks where I'm looking for like Easter eggs and some other information on the show. And I literally just scrolled down to this. And how awesome is this? I'm going to read this to you verbatim from this page. Talking about the timekeepers and how they were robots, and how they were portrayed in there. Considering the way they're laid out and dressed, the timekeepers are most definitely supposed to be reminiscent of the three most important people in the world, the futuristic utopian rulers who set things in motion in Bill and Ted's Excellent
Shut
Adventure.
Shut the fuck up, everybody.
You
bow down.
It. You crushed it.
Bow down.
How about that?
How you like that shit?
How about
we saw that? Another great comment earlier that was talking about how they're robots and the TVA scans for robots before you come in. And they were like, what if it's one of those things where a robot would be able to detect that the timekeepers were robots, and they would walk up and say, have you ever considered the ship of Theseus?
Well, that'd be great.
Man, oh, that's true. There's a lot of little, look at them all sneaking all these little things in, you fuckers.
So another thing to bring up now that B-15 knows she's a variant, because you can tell, and I said this for the last episode, when she comes back after being taken over by Sylvie, you can see she's got this shock look on her face, like something happened to her. And in this episode, you can clearly tell she's still reeling from that. So when she goes into that room, I didn't know what to expect, and she opens a door and tells Sylvie to follow me. I was like, holy shit, what the hell is going
to
happen?
And they go back to an apocalypse so that the TVA can't track it, right? It's like the zone of silence.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, it breaks the pattern probably for some people, but this idea of them genuinely reacting to things, you can see it in somebody's face when a change has happened. Like, if you pay close enough attention, Marvel is very intentional about how they make those acting choices.
Well, the actors that they have chosen for these roles, fantastic, even the smaller roles, really get it done. And I remember when the second episode, when B-15 gets taken over and becomes the Loki, and she gets the big grin and everything. I'm like, man, she is killing that.
Yeah,
you know, and
it's like McAvoy in Split.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was you're right. I mean, she is definitely shaken. And Charles, we had talked about this, and we learned more about Sylvie's power in episode 3, mm-hmm, when we find out that what she's actually doing is seeking out a person's memories and using that to manipulate them, because we didn't know. We didn't really know. So then, you know, before you had said, it looks like she knows something. It looks like B-15, when she wakes up in episode 2, she knows something. And I was like, you know, she's disoriented. She's, you know, we thought maybe being or sharing a brain or whatever with the variant allowed them to see what the variant was thinking or seeing or knowing, of some sort of grander scheme. We did not know that it was in reverse. And it makes way more sense now as to see when these people all stand up and like, what the hell, you know, mm-hmm, especially TVA agents, you know, the it's real, it's real, it's real, makes a whole hell of a lot more sense. And it got her snaked out and fucking zapped. Well, I don't know. I mean, if they pruned her, she could be in that hellscape. Who knows?
Yeah.
Everybody could be in that hellscape.
It's funny because to jump ahead a little bit, in the scene where they're fighting all of the TVA agents in the timekeeper's chamber, I said to Chuck, why are they bothering with the knife side of that pruning stick? I was like, clearly the glowy side. Like, you just got to touch it to their skin once and they're toast.
Yeah.
Turns out
you're not toast.
Hey.
Now, I wonder, like, where does that... Does it send a person, different people to different places? Are they not going to one timeline? Does it depend on that person? Where do they go? That's what I'm curious about. Do they all go to that destroyed
Earth? So is that like a planet of just Lokis?
I hope. Well,
that would be awesome.
You get four.
That
get
is cool.
Four of them right there.
What I'm trying to consider is, what does that mean for Owen Wilson? My long-standing headcanon is that Owen Wilson is an Owen Wilson variant, and that we're going to find out that was actually Owen Wilson. So I was thinking, like, oh no, that means we might not see him again. But also, if it means that he's on a planet full of Owen Wilsons,
wow,
and they're all,
man,
dressed as different characters from his movies,
that would be funny.
That would be incredible.
I don't think he would do that.
What? Oh, come
think,
on.
No, because and I only say that because, you know, he hasn't said his traditional wow. You know,
saving it. That's for the big reveal.
Yeah.
He said he was not going to say that in this show.
He's not. The other Owen Wilsons are.
Exactly.
It's the same as Paul Bettany saying, I love to work with this actor. I've been waiting for years, and it was himself.
And it was himself.
It's a troll. Giant troll.
All right. Well, maybe so.
Could be that. I drew a blank.
What was our next scene?
I don't remember. What do we were discussing?
B-15 goes to...
Yeah, so she comes back with Sylvie, and...
Meanwhile,
when Renslayer goes to check on her in the cell, she sees that Sylvie is wet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her appearance is different, and she asks, like, who else has been in here? And the guard was like, well, B-15 she wanted.
I thought they got rid of Owen Wilson first. And then she walked, went and got Sylvie, and then walked to...
I think you're right. I think you are right. I think
yeah,
she goes
you might
into
be
the,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
You
Loki
are.
Yeah. Loki has the talk with Mobius.
And Mobius stole the tempad or switched tempads
yes.
with Renslayer. Goes to the library area, looks on her tempad, and sees footage of C-20 saying everything that Loki had just told
her. Coherently. After and she had said that coherently. She couldn't even speak words. Yeah, at the
couldn't
end.
Speak yeah. words. She was all gibberish. And very obviously not. And then the last person that looked and been like, is Renslayer. So obviously she couldn't lie and say, oh, no, that's what they told me.
Yeah, because she's know? Already lied to him. Because in the office when she was like, do you want to know the truth? And she tells him a lie straight to his face. And she you could tell she's lying because at the end of it, she's like, is that what you wanted to hear? So she's basically telling him, I'm telling you this because this is what you want to hear.
He even says, yes, if it's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
There's
right.
something deeply unsettling about that scene. Like, you could just feel it was wrong.
Yeah.
Do you think she's trying to protect him, though, by not telling him the truth? And
no.
Telling
no.
Him?
No. No.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. She immediately had him pruned. I mean, it was, like, not even a thought.
Fair enough.
No, she didn't even think about it.
Yeah, she's, she's obviously not the person in charge, but she's close enough to the person in charge that... Everything else is just it's just extraneous.
So, Chuck, do you want to give some context? I don't know if y'all usually do this about her relationship with Kang in the comics. Is that too spoilery?
We brought that up.
We talked about
very
it first,
early
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
So it would make sense, right? Because she is
yeah,
with
they're
Kang
lovers.
In the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if and when they are together, it would make sense. She's very high and
We talked
stuff.
About everybody needs to just keep it in their fucking pants. all these people and their sex.
I'm kind of in for the Loki on Loki, though. That's perfect for him.
I mean, who else would he love more than himself?
If they had tried to do any other romantic interest, it wouldn't have worked.
No,
but this is perfect.
This makes sense. She is 100% a Loki. You see it. She was on. She's taken from Asgard, like
with a little enchantress sprinkled in, right?
With a little,
I think what they did is they just merged the characters.
I agree. Yeah,
it's a very like what they did with Spectrum / Rambo / whatever in WandaVision.
Photon.
Photon.
Yeah,
There's like three or four characters that are all kind of pieces of that. They just mash them together.
Yeah. So after she prunes Mobius and they go and she discovers that B-15 was in the cell with Sylvie, they bring Sylvie and Loki together in front of the gold elevator. They're going to the timekeepers. When they get in that room, and it hit me probably about an hour or so after we watched that episode, that whole scene brought back some Last Jedi vibes when Kylo Ren brings.
I Rey, love that so much.
When Kylo Ren brings Rey to Snoke. In the throne room. It's very Last Jedi.
And they throw weapons back and forth to each other.
Yes, and they're fighting guards. I mean,
you have just blown my mind.
Fuck you, Pierce.
Hey, sometimes I come up with these little nuggets.
That was a good one.
I thought I was going to be the slick one with my take on the Nexus event, but you've crushed me.
Chris, you don't remember that scene?
I don't remember that movie.
Last Jedi. So remember in Last Jedi?
I remember it now, but I don't.
That red throne room where he cuts Snoke in half and they fight the Imperial Guards.
Yeah, I remember it now.
Yeah, that's what that scene reminded me of.
That's what he said. He said he remembers it now.
Not even making sure. Not even quit that.
Okay, look. Stop showing up the pitch. Round the bases, take your fucking home run.
Hey, we don't talk about sports.
Not even that, but episode 9 too. They do the same thing with Palpatine, where they both go in a room like that, and they're
But this one was like more so Last Jedi, like tossing the weapons back and forth.
You and I had talked a little bit about how the production visually looks like some of the Star Wars content because of that new chroma key technology they do. Yeah,
they've got to be filming in a room like they do with The Mandalorian. They have to, because
it looks so
everything
good.
Disney does from now on is going to be using that. I'm certain
it
of it.
Should.
They're fucking printing money, man.
Oh, yeah,
they're just like, budget hell. What? Yeah. Everything we do is great.
The beauty of that is the budget's not crazy higher for it.
No, I mean, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They're just like, eh. Okay.
It's working.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And another thing in there that reminds me of Avengers and Phil Coulson in particular is when Renslayer comes up behind Loki and stabs him from the back Loki did to Coulson.
I think you're reaching.
No, I'm telling you.
I don't think you're wrong.
Go watch that scene.
I just
it's very reminiscent. No, you've watched it. I mean, all the callbacks from that particular scene they've had in these episodes with Loki and Coulson in that conversation. And
yeah,
I'm telling you, dude.
If it ain't broke, I mean, it's like
yes.
Have you ever seen the rotoscoping of like Jungle Book and other movies that use the exact same animation?
Yeah.
They're just copy pasting.
Yeah,
scene
like,
on
the hell.
Well, I mean, like I get what you're trying to say there, but I also
I think
that you're just not supposed to know that he's about to get fucking killed.
Well, no, not at all.
So it's, you don't
I'm,
see.
No,
him.
I mean, I'm just saying not the saying way. That it's meant to be like
no,
related to that in some way, but the scene is shot very similar.
Look, yeah. You're a very nice person. Stop fucking pumping him up. Because okay? I got to deal with him after this.
Hey, I have to deal with him every day. Our offices share a wall.
This is also true.
I spend 10 hours a day with Chuck.
This is true. But hey, look, it's a good day.
It is. We got paid to watch Loki.
We did.
Can you complain, sir?
Never. Not complain. I'm going to get paid to watch The Bad Batch on Friday, too. So Loki gets pruned. In the mid-credit scene, he wakes up. And if you had the subtitles on, you caught this little subtle reference when he said, "Am I in hell?" Spelled with one L.
Yeah.
Because in Asgardian myth, hell only has one L.
Attention to detail, man.
Attention to detail. And then you hear voices talking to Loki, and you're like, "What?" First thing I thought was like, "Who's this going to be? Like, is it going to be like some crazy Avengers or something from another timeline? Like, who's going to show up?" And when they pan up and you see three Lokis and an alligator Loki, you're like, what in the hell? So I have a name for all the Lokis.
Oh, cool.
So there was classic Loki, obviously, that looked like from the 60s comic. Yeah. Kid Loki. Boastful Loki is what he's being referred to as.
Is that from the comics? What run is that?
No, they don't know. They think it might be an amalgamation of different Lokis put together for that character.
Huh. So wait, and we're talking about specifically? We're talking about Black Loki with the
Black
hammer?
Loki. He's called Boastful Loki.
Alligator Loki.
Yeah. Alligator Loki. And he's a very boastful alligator. He's like, my skin makes the best purses.
Yeah. Look at all my teeth.
Look at my boots. And the alligator Loki could be a play on frog Loki when Loki was turned into a frog.
Well, okay, so Loki has been animals a million times.
Exactly.
So that doesn't catch me off guard. It's the one with the hammer that I'm like, oh, I want to know everything about that.
Yeah, they're referring to him as Boastful Loki.
Who's they?
It's in this Den
the
of
internet.
Geeks. Yes, the internet. It's in this Den of Geeks article.
Did you decide to do that? No. Let's make up our own name right now. If you could just do this, what are we going to call him?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Somebody go look in the credits. And
Hephaestus Loki.
Yes. In Luke Cage Loki?
Yes.
Luke Cage vibe?
Cage Loki.
Sweet Christmas.
Loki Cage.
Sweet Christmas. Loki Cage.
Tone Loki. That's it.
We've already used that.
Oh, my God.
That's his name. His name is Tone Loki.
Tone Loki. From now on, it's canon. I'm sorry.
It's Tone Loki, bro. Sorry.
But the hammer is different. Like, it's very industrial kind of looking. Like, it could be made out of... Yeah. I really want to know. I don't know if we're gonna, but I really want to.
Well, because of the power of the internet, this could be... I mean, they didn't just come up with boastful. Who comes up with boastful for a name?
That's, like, fed to them by Disney. Like, hey, at the release of this episode, write an article that says these things. Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah. And I
Coach Purse Loki.
Coach Purse Loki.
I'm in.
For the alligators.
Here's the question. We're gonna see more Lokis, right? This can't just be only four of them.
Oh, I would have to assume.
I'm looking at the credits right now at the end of the Loki episode.
Oh, and it says Boastful Loki?
And it says Boastful Loki.
I hate it.
Don't like it at all.
Instantly my morale is lowered.
Tone Loki for the win.
Take a D4 of psychic damage.
There you go. You're crossing pockets.
We're going to see more. Can I call you back to an image from the trailer?
Okay.
Which is Loki in election garb.
Yeah.
Vote for Loki.
We still haven't seen that Loki yet.
What if he's going to run for president of the Lokis? It's going to be, I'm the best Loki, vote for me. We're going to have a competition to see who is the Loki.
Or what if there's already one like him?
Yeah,
there.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have to. Doesn't have
He's
to look
the clone.
Completely
Shoot him.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many Lokis will we see in the next episode? We've seen four.
As many as possible.
Town of Lokis.
A town of Loki Town.
A world of Lokis.
Welcome
town.
To Loki Town.
Town. World.
I'm curious to see who else is on this planet. Like, what are we going to see?
The
on
Citadel
this next episode?
Of Lokis.
Yeah. We're going to see a ton of Lokis, but I feel like we're going to see some other people as well. Maybe not Avengers or Wait, what are you two fist bumping on?
I said a Citadel of Lokis. And he said, is that a Rick and Morty reference? And I said, yes.
Yeah. I haven't watched the new season yet. I haven't watched
it. That's fucking like 3 years ago.
Where's I know, but I'm just saying I haven't watched the new season yet. I'm just pointing that out.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to show up. Tom Hiddleston said 4 and 5 changed the game. Like, it's one giant movie together. So they've already began the changing, the paradigm shift, as
His
you said.
His hype paid out. I mean, yeah. After seeing Abomination and Wong fighting in the Shang-Chi trailer, dude, I have no idea. It could be anything. It could be anything, and I'm fine.
Yeah, it's not the fact...
The universe is broken. It's fine.
It's not the fact that, oh, shit, Abomination is in this trailer, but he's fighting Wong in a steel cage. Like, yeah, what? Why is Wong in a steel cage match with the Abomination?
I didn't mean to get us off topic there. Why not?
And it completely takes away from the fact that you just saw fucking Fin Fang Foom under the water.
Yes.
And
no,
you're
no,
just
no.
Like, you're like, holy shit, this Fin Fang... Fucking Abomination! What the fuck? You just lose it. The dragon is no more important.
But
not
anymore. But I knew Fin Fang Foom was going to be in it, so I wasn't shocked. It was like, oh, cool, Fin Fang Foom.
It's still a fucking dragon,
it's
man.
It's still a fucking dragon. I'm desensitized on dragons after Game of Thrones. Like, oh, look, a dragon. All right,
we didn't get any on Vormir like we were supposed to, so I'm dragon thirsty.
Yeah.
We both had the same reaction. I feel like unlike WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, the payoff on this series is going to be great.
It better be. If we get another CGI fight where they're fighting a different version of themselves with slightly different colored powers, I'm going to lose my mind.
No, I don't want to see that either.
I'm tired of it.
I don't want to see that either, but I feel like...
Well, Captain America has to fight U.S. Agent. Oh, Wanda has to fight Agatha Harkness. Oh, let's just do this... fighting a slightly different version of myself 1,000 times across all the movies and all the TV shows. Can we do something different?
I think this series so far has been so completely different from everything else. I feel like we don't have to worry about that for the final episode. I feel like the payoff is going to be there. It's going to lead... I don't know if it's going to lead into
Multiverse of Madness. I mean, it seems like everything is building into that in some way. I
hope it ends on a cliffhanger, honestly.
I hope so.
Is Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania coming out next year, or is it 2023?
Someone ask the internet. You are right that... I'm sure y'all have talked about the callback to the line of time works differently in the TVA.
Yes.
Oh, and it's saying the exact same thing in the quantum realm. Yeah. I think that's
and is the
clear.
TVA in the quantum
it's
realm?
Gotta be. It's gotta be.
It makes sense.
2023.
If it's not,
okay, so it's not going to lead into that. That's too far of a connection.
If it's not in the quantum realm, what they're doing is they're creating two avenues of time control in the same creative universe. And I just did air quotes for anybody that
wanted
to.
He didn't do them.
He actually
just flipped us the double bird.
Yeah, pretty much. We've angered him.
No, I mean, it has to be.
It's got to be.
Why would you build a house and then not live in it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, the quantum realm is the time travel house. They built it already. They don't need to fucking build it again. There it is. Just use it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. And the scope of the missions we've seen these people go on, for instance, Renslayer, tried to capture Sylvie as a kid, and now Sylvie's clearly an adult, and Renslayer looks the exact same age.
Yeah.
Makes me think that time is functioning very weird. And as we saw, Scott Lang disappeared for 5 years. For him, it was 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense if it's an Inception style, but reversed, step down of time where 5 minutes for them is super long in the sacred timeline, Earth 616, whatever you want to call it. So I think you're right. It's got to be. They wouldn't choose that exact line without some intention behind it. We've discussed all the attention to detail on little references here and there. They're paying too much attention for that to be the same.
Well, so Sylvie gets taken as a child, right? And Renslayer looks like just a regular TVA agent at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she, you know, like worked her way up or something.
Yeah, she's in combat gear.
Right.
She hadn't made it to upper management.
She's in what do we call them? Not time cops. Minutemen. She's in the Minutemen gear.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so Sylvie escapes, and now she is obviously much older, but Renslayer looks very similar age. She's bouncing around and living days in these times and aging, whereas the TVA has its own timeline. So you could disappear and then reappear 5 minutes later and be, you know, 100 fucking years older because you've lived in other timelines up to this point.
Was she set Sylvie said to Loki in the last episode when she pulled the memory out of C-20's, pulled that memory out of C-20, it was from 100 years
right.
ago now, that she pulled that memory.
I'm not disagreeing with that. What I'm saying is in the TVA, time is moving at this one's pace, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
but that's
when you go to another timeline and then you exist in that timeline for 2 weeks, you don't just suddenly like wipe those 2 weeks out, you know, that it continues and it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds.
And this answers another question, which is how did they clear up so many Nexus events from the last episode? Chuck asked when they were looking at the sacred timeline,
yeah,
you know, when we leave off episode 3, there's 100 Nexus events going on from the bombs all at the same time.
Right.
And then instantly they've cleaned it up and it's no problem. Well, if time at the TVA is moving so slowly that they can just pop in, it's like nothing to them. They're like, okay, we have to do this now, but it's not a time crunch like you would think, something that's going to be impossible to clear
up. Well, they do say that there are, you know, there's only so much time until that Nexus creates a completely different branch.
But they only say that when they're physically in that reality. They don't say it in the TVA, right?
No. No. I mean, they're when they're in the TVA and they're like, it's so far away.
It does,
it's only
yeah,
this so far away.
Move,
so
it?
So
yeah.
they do see it moving. It's not that. It's not that they can't do it at their own leisure. They all go full go. But, I mean, we got to remember how big this space is. Not like just one building of Minutemen. It could be fucking thousands of them all throughout this city that we're seeing. So, you know, just because the ones we see happen to be humanoid, they could just be dealing with the humanoid response teams as opposed to the fucking Kree and the this and the that and the Skrulls and wherever. Now, obviously, we saw a Skrull early on
in the first episode,
so it doesn't necessarily mean that they wouldn't go and deal with that, but we have no grasp of how big it is.
What if one of the final shots in the finale is a pull away shot from like the city of the TVA, and it's that damn screenshot that somebody took from the Ant-Man movie where it looked like there was a city in the background. If it's that? And you realize you're in the quantum realm.
All I can think about is Men in Black with the cat.
With the
universe and its collar. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the aliens playing marbles or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's all relative.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of the We Have Spoken podcast, the Nexus event, episode 4 of Loki. What are you laughing about over there, child?
He's joking.
He's joking. What are you doing? Are you okay?
Yeah.
What?
No.
Right. No, I don't.
We got 100 more Christian variants in the closet.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
prune
yeah.
you and get someone else. Christian, thank you for coming, buddy.
Thanks.
Dying over there for
some
reason.
Go get some water.
Yeah. Jay Parker, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You are always welcome to come on the show when you can, sir.
Absolutely.
That was fun. Mike?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Yes.
I'm always here.
You are always here. I am Chuck P., and this has been the We Have Spoken podcast. Until next time, this is the way.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.